for the reading of the scriptures together. Our text will come from the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 5. And these are the words of him whose love is indeed deep and vast and full, without measure. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. And when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. In the days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. And Seth lived, after he fathered Enosh, 807 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. And Enosh lived, after he fathered Kenan, 815 years, and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. And Kenan lived, after he fathered Mahalalel, 840 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. And Mahalalel lived, after he fathered Jared, 830 years, and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. And Jared lived, after he fathered Enoch, 800 years, and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, after he fathered Methuselah, 300 years. And had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And when Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. And Methuselah lived, after he fathered Lamech, 782 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. You and I are in need of heroes. We're in need of models of faith, models of virtue, courage, trust. And in an age and culture that erases heroes, we are in desperate need of the message of the Bible. We are in need of records of heroic faith, records of men such as Enoch. It was the Roman historian Livy, centuries ago, who said that history is the best medicine for the sick mind. And by sick mind, he meant the mind that is weighed down with worry and despair, even. He said that history is the best medicine for those whose minds are weary and low. History, best medicine for the sick mind. Why? He said, because through history we learn of vices to avoid and virtues to imitate. We could just as well say that the Bible is the best medicine for the weary, fatigued, and sickened mind. For here in the Bible, you find a record. You find a record of redemption. You find a record of immense, undeserved grace. And you find a record of what it looks like to live, to truly live, to live life as it was intended. You have little flashes every now and then in the Bible of men and women who are flawed and imperfect, and yet it is recorded of them that they walked with God. Enoch, we have his record in verses 21 through 24. He was a young man in comparison with some of these other men in this list. He was young when he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch is described in verse 22. Enoch walked with God. Enoch is described as a stalwart of the faith. He's a man of piety. He's a man of reverence and love linked together for God. He is a man of immense trust in his generation. Now, Enoch is a member of the fallen race of Adam. And because he is a member of the fallen race of Adam, he's created in the likeness of God. Despite being a fallen man, he is in the image of God, just as you and I are. We are fallen sons and daughters of Adam, and yet we are still created after the image of God. Cracked and deformed though it may be, he's made in the likeness of God. Male and female, verse 2 of chapter 5. And notice what the Lord has done with this race of Adam. So Adam and Eve have been joined. They have been given the promise of redemption. Trusting in that promise, they are joined together. And notice what the Lord calls them. Look at verse 2. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man. In the original, it literally reads Adam. It's the first instance we see. Why, when two people join together, why does the wife adopt the last name of her husband? Well, here's where we get it. The Lord pronounces his blessing, his benediction on this first couple. And he even calls them, he names them, and he gives them the name Adam. It's a beautiful picture. Fallen though they may be, sinful and now corrupted, and yet he blesses them. And just as he named creation in that first week, he names them as a couple. They're not just two isolated individuals. No, they're joined together, and they're one. They're one in flesh, and now they are one in name. What a beautiful picture. It's another subject for another day. But this is Enoch's race. Fallen, formed after the image of God, and yet with the sentence of death upon them. Did you notice, kids, did you notice this? With all the funny names that we just read in Genesis 5, did you notice there were three words that were repeated over and over and over again? Did you catch what they were? And he died. Again and again. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And death now comes to us all. Some of these lives are shorter or longer than others. It's in that season right after creation, so understandably, they're living longer. Some lives are long, and some are as a morning flower cut down. Some of our lives are extended, and some are brief. This life is fragile. You never know. This could be, today could be the last sermons that you hear. You need to hear as though this was the last message you ever hear. You need to hear his word as though eternity were at stake, because it is. Life is fragile. This is a broken, fallen world. As Spurgeon said, time is short, eternity is long. You need to hear his words and live every single hour in the light of eternity. Enoch is described as having walked with God twice. Twice this is said of him in verse 22 and verse 24, that Enoch walked with God. It is one of the most simple and yet clear descriptions of what it is to be a believer. What is it to be a Christian? What was it to be a true Israelite? What is it to be one who follows Christ? Well, it is that you walk with him, to walk with the Lord. That's what it is. This life that we've been given as Christians, y'all, this is a life to be practiced. Christianity is not simply a set of notions and doctrines to be learned and understood. It is a life to be lived. And in fact, all of those doctrines that we learn, all of those vital propositions that are so necessary and important, we believe in doctrinal, propositional truth. that there is such a thing as true statements. Now, why are those so important? Why is it imperative that you believe those statements of doctrine? Why? It's not just so you can fill your mind with knowledge. It's just not just so you can accumulate a greater intellect or mind. No, we gather these truths and we store them up, and then we pray the Holy Spirit to come down in power and light the match. And each of those doctrines become fuel for the fire of our love, our reverence, our piety. This is a life not just to be known. This is a life to be practiced. And so, yes, Enoch is described as having walked with God. And the Apostle Paul says to the Colossians, Colossians 2 and verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This is an Old Testament and a New Testament lesson. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, having received Him, walk in Him. This is a life to be practiced and lived and enjoyed. Okay, so I want us to think for a few minutes. What is it to walk with God? What is it to walk in Christ? To walk with Christ? What is it to walk with God? I want you to hear, first of all, to walk with God means that you know Him. That you have come to know the Lord. Can two walk together unless they be agreed, the prophet asks? To walk with Him means that you know Him. You have come to know this God. That's what the Spirit does. When the Spirit of Christ comes down upon a sinner, the Spirit, He leaves His mark. And when the Spirit comes down, He leaves the mark of knowledge. You have come to know the Lord. You know Christ as a person. Not just as an abstract philosophy. No, you have come to know Jesus as a person. That's what it is to be a Christian. You have come to know Him. You've been made alive in Him. We sing, alive in Him, my living head. And that beautiful hymn, and can it be? Alive in Him. The Spirit has come down. He has made you a new creation. He's caused you to be born again to a living hope. Have you been made alive in Christ? Have you passed from death to life? That is your question. To walk with God means you've come to know Him. To know Him means you've been made alive. That's what Christianity is. It is to pass from death to life. Oh, do you know what it is to truly live? Do you know what it is to come alive? Yes, as Christians, we do bear in our bodies the death of Christ, and we smell like death because we are being put to death. We deny ourselves. Yes, death is at work in us, and yes, we do have the sentence of death on us. The wages of sin is death. Yes, death is at the heart of the message of the Bible. But y'all, the message of the gospel is there is such a thing as life from the dead. Have you been born again? Have you been made new? Have you been made a new creation? Has the Spirit come down? And has He formed you anew? Yes, the image of God has been broken in us. Has He made you new, beginning to put those pieces back together? Have you yielded yourself unto Him? Have you yielded unto Him, giving Him your consent? The bride gives the bridegroom her consent. Have you yielded your consent unto Him? Have you closed with Him in covenant? Oh, he is the bridegroom of the church, and He makes His overtures of peace and reconciliation with you. Have you yielded to Him? All of this is to ask, do you know the Lord? Not just do you know about the Lord, but do you know Him? Do you know him as he has revealed himself? Have you been made alive? Have you yielded yourself in faith to him, trusting his hand? Okay, so to walk with the Lord means you know him. Imperfectly, yes. But you know him truly nonetheless. What he has made known to you, you know it. And you know him. Do you know the Lord? That's what it is to walk with Christ. That they knew it. They knew his voice. And that's the second thing I want you to hear, that to walk with the Lord means that you listen to him, that you hear him. That to walk with Christ, y'all, the disciples would walk with Jesus, and can you imagine being in that select, cherished company? Can you imagine being one of the 12, and you're walking between towns, and you are hearing the very voice of the Son of God? Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to hear the voice of Jesus in real time? To hear him in conversation? To hear the man pray? To hear him sing psalms which he had sung from childhood? You ever wondered what it would be like to sit across the campfire eating with the man? To hear him. To hear his voice. That day's coming. That day, praise God, that day is coming when you and I will see his face and we will hear his voice. And his voice will be strong and clear, just as strong and clear as our voice is in speaking with each other. And ears that have been physically closed in this life will be opened to hear the voice of the Son of God. To walk with Christ means that you have come to hear him. That your ears, which have been spiritually closed, your ears, which have been spiritually stopped, your ears have been opened. Supernaturally, the Holy Spirit has come in with that sacred tool of the Word, and he has removed the blockage, and he has caused you to hear, and you now hear the Lord Jesus. Where do you hear the Lord Jesus now? Do you not hear him in his Word? Oh, do you not hear the voice of Christ speaking in the Scriptures? And does your heart, just as the disciples on the walk to Emmaus, does your heart not burn within you as his word is opened, as it's read, as it is explained? Y'all, this is a life to be lived. It is a life to be loved. And you hear Jesus in his ordinances. You hear Jesus in the ordinances of the reading of the word, the preaching of the Bible. The Apostle Paul says to the Romans, Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is your promise. But then he follows it up. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? That's the actual language in Romans chapter 10. In our English translations, it reads, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? But in the original, it's actually straight out. How shall they believe him whom they have not heard? And then he follows it up with, how shall they hear without preaching? Why is preaching so vital? Preaching is vital not just because it gives some people a living and a livelihood. Preaching is vital because without preaching, we don't hear clearly the voice of Jesus speaking through the Scriptures. That's it. Why is this such an important moment in the life of our church? Why do we believe in it so insistently? We believe in preaching because we believe that Jesus speaks to his people through the Word. Period. Have you come to know the Lord, and have you come to hear Him in His ordinances? Do you hear Him with love and with tenderness? This is the voice of our beloved. This is the voice of Him we so deeply love and cherish. Do you hear this Jesus with love and with tenderness? Do you hear Him not just with your ear, but with your eye and your heart? And when you hear this Christ, does it make you want to move closer to Him? The life of a believer, it is not standing still. The life of a believer is moving somewhere. This is a walk. It is a practice. And as you and I hear the voice of Jesus, we want to get closer. Our hearing is still dull, just like physically. Our hearing can be dulled. Spiritually, our hearing is still dulled by the old self. And we long to get closer, to hear Him more clearly. This is what it is to walk with Him. To walk with God means you hear Him. And you hear Him through the Word. You hear Him by the power and operation of the Spirit. You hear Him. And you hear Him with love and with tenderness, with eye and heart placed upon the Lord Jesus. And the path of the just, and that's you and I. The path of the just. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the light of day, which grows brighter and brighter until full day. Are you making progress? Is your way becoming brighter? Is it becoming more radiant? More brightened by the light of the truth? Are you growing closer? This is what it is to walk. This is the Bible's term, sanctification, where sin is not only pardoned, it's being gradually rooted out and replaced. Sanctification, where you and I are more and more enabled to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. This is what it is to be alive. That you're alive in Him and you hear Him. And because you hear Him, you're growing more and more like Him. This is to walk with the Lord. How is your walk? How is it with your soul? You and I need to ask each other that question. How is it with your soul? How is your walk? How is your hearing? How is your sense of joy? Your sense of life? Your sense of being alive in Him. How is your assurance? How is your walk with Him? Are you following Him closely? Does He feel distant from you? We go through seasons. To walk with the Lord means you know Him, and you know Him because you hear Him. But it also means that you follow Him. To walk with the Lord means that you follow Him. Not that He follows you. Not that you tell Him where you want to go and He endorses your plans. That's usually how we think of the Christian life. We tend to think of life as a Christian. We tend to think, here is what I would like to do. Lord, would you please give your endorsement? We walk with the Lord. We need to flip it. To walk with the Lord means that we follow Him. We follow Him in His providence. We follow Him in His fatherly care over His children. We follow Him trusting that in His providence. And what is providence? Providence is His holy, wise, careful, loving, just, preserving of His people. Do you believe He truly preserves and cares for His people? Now, to follow Him in providence means that you trust that He will lead exactly as you must be led. That He will arrange things and paths and introductions and people and decisions exactly as they must be arranged. Thomas Boston, 18th century Scottish pastor, says this. He literally uses this language. He says, close your eyes. Yes, he's a Presbyterian. He says, close your eyes and yield to his word and spirit. There you go. We follow him. We follow him in his leading. We follow him in his providence. We follow him in his promises. What is it to live the Christian life, to walk with God? It is to believe the promises of God. And all those promises, they come into a burning focus in the person of Jesus. You believe his promises, which are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And those promises, they are iron for your soul. That's why we sing the Psalms. The Psalms are iron for your soul. You're singing the promises of God. Filled, what did we sing this morning? Filled with all the goodness your sacred courts provide. You follow him. You follow him in his providence. You follow him in his promises. You follow him in his commandments. Trusting that whatever he has commanded is for your good. Trusting that whatever he has told you to do in his word, whatever he has laid out in his law, whatever he has commanded is for your welfare. It is for your, to use a word that's popular today, it is for your well-being. Where does your well-being come from? It comes from fearing the Lord and keeping his commandments. Trusting that he would never command you wrong. He would never lead you ill. Can you believe this? Can you believe this is what it is to walk with God? It's not some complicated set of steps. No, you walk with God by coming to know him, by listening to him, by following him and his providence, his promises, his commandments. And you do this all in the midst of your days. You walk with God in the midst of your days, right in the middle of what he has given you. And so as we close, I want you to consider Enoch's place. Okay, look at verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. We walk with him in the midst of our days with the people God has given to us. You have your people. Okay, you might not have sons and daughters like Enoch, but you have your people nonetheless. You have your relationships. You have your spheres. You have your duties. You have your responsibilities. And you are to walk in real time. Being a Christian is not just something you do in the morning before breakfast. Being a Christian is something you do throughout the day in all of your interactions. Being a Christian is not just something reserved for Sunday morning. It is something that's practiced throughout the week. You walk with God in the midst of your days with all of your tasks, with an eye and heart placed upon the Lord Jesus in the midst of your days with the people that are given to you, and you do so with distinctness. You know it's okay to be different. Some of y'all are different. I'm really, really different. It's okay to be different. As a Christian, you are called to be different. If the watching world looks at you a little funny, there's probably good reason. We don't match. We live in the midst of this world. We work in this world. We play in this world. We have friends in this world, but we don't
think the same way. We don't define things the same way. We don't love the same way. You're called to be distinct. Enoch is in the midst of this fallen generation of men. And within just a few short years, there is going to be the prediction of the waters of judgment to flood the earth. Enoch is in the midst of a generation of which the Lord pronounced his curse. The Lord pronounced his cursing over this generation. That they were evil in the imagination of their hearts. And Enoch, just like his descendant Noah, Enoch is in the middle of it. Y'all, God will put you in the midst of people who don't think the way you do. And that is no excuse for you to lower the bar. That is no excuse for you to slow your pace. That is no excuse to lower your own standards. No, he places you in the midst, and he puts you there for a reason. You might say, oh, the place where I am, the people around me, they just drag me down. They are of no good to my piety. They actually work against my love and my reverence. What am I doing? You are Enoch, and the Lord has placed you there for a reason. And you are there so that you would lean not upon the goodness of a creature, but on the grace of the living God who supplies you with fresh bread, fresh oil, fresh anointing. You must look to him and to him alone. The way Thomas Boston puts it about this point, he says, if you are in that situation, you don't just need grace, you need a vigor. What a great word, a vigor of grace. A strength of grace. Oh, and is this not what drives us to cry out, Lord, we have nothing to offer. We have no goodness in ourselves. And it moves us to cast ourselves upon him and his grace alone. Not just for our conversion, but for our sanctification. That Jesus would be our wisdom from God, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Fly to Christ. Would you not leave from this place? Would you not leave making a study of the practice of the Christian life? We give our days and hours to 100 other things. We devote our attention and devoted study to lots of other pursuits. Can you not spare the time and the effort to make a study of what it is to be a Christian and to live as a Christian, especially in the midst of a perishing, lost, dark generation? Can you not make a study of this? Can you not use the short time that is given to you, this life that is so brief and it's gone like this, it passes like a dream, passes like the waters of a river. Can you not use the time that is given to you? Capture every passing second for his glory. Can you not use it? And can you not, as Caleb and Joshua, who lifted their minority report in protest against the majority. That's what you are. You, as Caleb and Joshua, you raise your protest against the majority. And can you not, lifting your protest, trust? Can you not trust that following the Lord fully, just as Caleb, with a different spirit, a distinct spirit, can you not trust that that different spirit will bear you safely to the end? Enoch walked with God and then he was taken. God took him as a prophecy of the resurrection, and as proof to his generation that there was such a thing as life after death. God took him. And can you and I not trust? One day we'll see his face, and perhaps he will even be the one to make the introduction. to the Lord of the resurrection? Can you not trust him? Death comes to us all. And between now and then, your joy and your duty is to walk with the Lord. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God of all mercy and love and kindness, we pray that by your Spirit you would give us to know you, to hear you, to follow you in the midst of the days we are given, to make a study of this life which you've given to us, and to press on with that different spirit, pressing on to the end. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.